Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Of records, for the record, we, the people in this room, and thousands more who can't necessarily be here today, are building a movement to stop the dictatorship of the developers in this city, and y'all are not going to have that much more time to continue to give our city away to the developers.
When, not if, y'all inevitably sell off Old Baptist Hospital, look us in the face and say affordability is really important to us, and accessibility for the community is really important for us. When you do that, and then the property becomes a bunch of ugly townhomes that the people in that neighborhood can't afford, that raise the prices of rent, that moves the neighborhood out, and that neighborhood no longer looks like what it looks like, I want it to be on the record that we were not deceived. We will be lied to, because that is what this body has repeatedly done, but we will not be deceived. Thank you.
Chensenbrenner.
So the socialists were out in force at the Pensacola City Council meeting last Thursday, but it doesn't mean they're wrong. You know, their worry about Baptist being demolished is that it's going to be the Hallmark school all over again, that it's just going to be torn down real fast, and then you're going to get a bunch of townhomes put up that nobody wants to see, that, you know, create weird parking situations that, well, I mean, people want to live in them, so, I mean, I guess there's that. That's kind of a weird benefit. And whatever, you know, everybody wants to control everybody else's life all the time. Anyway, they do not want the Baptist project unless it's going to really benefit people, and they feel like the city is never doing enough to help people out. Chensenbrenner, I'm assuming is related to Sarah.
Create councils who would be a part of the decision making, councils full of people who live there, who walk their dogs there, people who have childhood memories there, people who deserve to stay there, and show us that this isn't about stuffing the pockets of wealthy developers. And we do not want lip service, because this city's actions have given us no reason to trust your lip service over and over again.
By the way, when I say socialist, I mean, like, Sarah self-identifies. Like, I'm not applying a name that she wouldn't take on. She's been at lots of different things, and that's how she identifies. So I'm not, like, being flippant about interpreting their views. I'm saying this is, you know, who they are. Jasmine Brown, another member who showed up to talk about this stuff.
We have concerns about this Baptist project. We worry about the necessity of and risks associated with demolition. We worry about how the property will ultimately be used. And we worry about the fill and build approach to development that is destroying our stormwater resiliency. We worry about gentrification. We worry this is another instance of the city dangling so-called affordable housing in our faces to get our buy-in just to build overpriced homes that don't fit the character of our neighborhoods. We want these concerns addressed in a meaningful way. We want a city that operates more transparently, that brings in our voices, that doesn't push people out of their neighborhood. We want the power to make this city work for us, not just a tiny clique of developers. Until we get that, these plans should not move forward another inch. Thank you.
But thank you.
Can I point out that Tanya Day Broughton went out of her way to thank DC for the vast amount of public input that has been done across a variety of projects, including the Baptist Project, the Hollis T. Williams Project, the Reimagined Palette. Like, we are doing an enormous amount of public input, almost too much. You know, like, it gets exhausting, right?
I appreciate you putting forth so much effort to let people know what's coming, because often they don't know. And what I see the city having done this time is to find, like, we had them in churches, we had them at community centers, places we were finding people, everywhere with barbershops, but we went everywhere to let everybody know what's coming. And again, encouraging people, don't sell grandma's house.
By the way, Tanya Day, when you hear the clinking clanking, it's always her bracelets. 100% of the time, it's her bracelets. So you know she's there because you hear it. And when you don't hear it, you know that she's not there for whatever reason. I thought Haley Morissette was the funniest one because, you know, Haley's sort of with these folks. And she ran for Alex Andrade's seat, District 2, as the Democrat last time around. She was involved in the Black Lives Matter stuff. And, you know, we've had her on the wrap. I think we have. Fairly recently, anyway. This is my favorite comment of all. After everybody gets up and, you know, lays into the mayor and the city council for favoring the developers and not caring about the people.
I'm actually just going to be repeating the same thing that y'all have already heard.
I love that level of honesty. That's fantastic. There was one guy who, one of the issues on this is that people want to see minorities, black people, and women, I suppose, but they mostly mean black people, have the contract and have pieces of the millions of dollars that's going to be spent demolishing Baptist. One guy who got up to speak about this in what I would describe as a fairly aggressive way, Jermaine Williams.
You're coming in our neighborhood. It's already gentrified. You have already taken us out. Guaranteed.
By the way, the drinking term of the night was gentrified. If you had been, if you had gentrified on your drinking bingo card, you did not make it an hour into this meeting.
Guarantee us 25% of laborers. I mean, there's someone in here right now, a black man, that owns a dump truck. He should be able to come in and be guaranteed a seat at the table. We see who's leading in the RFPs. The Bayou District, what they did to the St. Bernard Parish over in Louisiana after the biggest natural disaster in this country, what they did to black people over there is coming to East Street. Not on my watch. I've worked with a lot of y'all before. You know my face. Get used to it. Baptist is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So your first step on this sprint tonight better be to get 25% to black people or it's going to be hell.
Not sure what we're clapping for. Sounds vaguely like a threat. I hope it wasn't. But this is one of the concerns. In fact, Delarian Wiggins, it's his district, had raised this concern or was going to raise this concern about wanting to be sure that a massive project like this not only had community buy-in and participation in the development process of what's going to happen on that parcel, but also, you know, gets a slice of the work. We'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect our normal 7 to 9 minute to congestion construction delay, and also Highway 29 southbound as you approach Kingsfield Road. We've got about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, so Delarian Wiggins, like I said, city council member in that district, specifically saying,
we have to think of a new way of doing things here in the city of Pensacola. I often feel like sometimes the voices of the community is not being heard. There's literally nothing that's affordable in my district. My district is ever growing. The average income in my district is $55,000 a year. The average medium income is $35,000 a year. Yet the average home that's being sold in my district is $800,000. There's a huge problem. And we're not listening to the community. We're not listening to people when they talk about housing.
And there's a lot of sentiment that agrees with that, that this problem of affordability related to wages in Pensacola and the surrounding area is a real challenge. And look, I'll just tell you honestly, you know, we bought our, or we built our house and we built it before prices jumped. I'm glad that the value of the home has gone up. I'm not so thrilled about the property taxes going up. But, you know, building that same home today would be challenging. I mean, it just is. You know, it's expensive to live in Pensacola. It's expensive to buy in Pensacola. You know, I think the mayor is trying to do everything he can at every price point to have, you know, more volume of housing. But even the stuff that's being done isn't enough. And I'll be honest, I'm still very uncomfortable with the idea of government being involved in the housing business to begin with. Because, you know, just it's not my view of what government's job is. Government does most things badly. It's the solver of last resort, and I'm not sure that it solves the housing stuff very well. I like the community land trust concept, but we just need volume. We need more and more. Of course, you know, people are coming here, and prices have gone up, and insurance is terrible, and there are other issues to be solved. But Delarian was also interested in making sure that minority contracts get had in this process. And he specifically said that it won't have his support unless that happens.
Families out here starving, people having to work DoorDash and other part-time jobs just to make ends meet. But yet, we're about to transfer $16 million for this project, and I still can't get minority participation. So if we can't get it right tonight, you will not have Councilman Wiggins' vote.
All right, thank you.
But over the course of the conversation, and not so much with a promise of minority participation, but more with other questions either being addressed or that that issue doesn't get solved at this stage of the conversation. He did wind up supporting it, and they did vote 7-0 to move ahead with the demolition. A couple of other things that came up in the conversation, and I thought were just worth mentioning because they're fascinating. Delarian actually asked this question of Dina Solworth, and the question was, what does it cost to just carry the Baptist Project with all the maintenance and, you know, cooling and all the stuff that goes on with it right now? John, you want to take a stab at this? What's the cost per month for just the city owning Baptist right now?
You know, 20 grand?
Normal carrying costs involve, like, you know, the payment on the debt. Well, we don't have that problem, right? But
right.
Operational maintenance kind of stuff. What'd you say?
20 grand.
Do you have a roundabout estimate cost of just operational charges right now as Baptist sits as it is?
We're paying about $30,000 a month. That includes 24-hour security, landscaping. That includes utilities, which we have to keep on for fire safety. And that includes something else that I'm forgetting.
that's a monthly cost?
That's $30,000 a month, yes, sir.
Wow.
I thought my electric bill was high.
I know you'd right. $30,000 a month. Tear it down fast.
And I was being generous with my estimate.
Now, of course, what they're partially concerned about is development that won't favor the locals or gentrification, which means property values in one part go up. That puts everybody else up. That means that they can't afford their own host because of the property taxes going up. And so people who've lived there historically get forced out. I actually thought that Tenney Day Broughton had a it was quite long, but it's worth hearing because she had a really I want you to hear it from her. She was talking to the people, not just here, but also near Hollis T. Williams, other places that are getting developed or getting a lot of fixes come in. And here's what she said. And it was, I mean, really a pretty poignant moment in the conversation.
When we first, before you were elected, when we first began discussing improvements to Hollis T. Williams Park under the interstate, as we call it, one thing Haley can tell you, my constant phrase that I repeated all the time was, don't sell grandma's house. Don't sell grandma's house. Then later on, I went door to door. Don't sell grandma's house. You know, they come and don't sell it. Not long ago, there was a Long Hollow stormwater pond. I don't know if you all are familiar with it. Now development is going to be coming in that area. And that's on Palo Fox, and people are interested in it. So we're getting some of the history in together and stuff like that. But in the event, this generation has to know that even though someone might have been passed away, even though you inherited property, don't sell grandma's house because the value is going up and it's coming. Over there, like near my church, just in the community, historically African-American communities, the best word I can give you is don't sell it. With that in mind, if you keep your family property, if you value your family's property, as this development is coming, then you can benefit. I would hope that that becomes a mantra of sorts.
Don't sell grandma's house. They should make shirts. but that's true. But that's the other side of this, right? Gentrification means property values go up and drives out the people who've lived there historically, but also allows you to make a killing by selling grandma's house when the property values have gone up, which is a source of wealth, which you might have remembered Lumen May talking about this, that part of the reason he doesn't like some of the initiatives is that they, like the Community Land Trust, he's not a big fan of some of those things because they interfere with the ability of family to own, hold, and profit from selling it later on. But the only reason you can own, hold, and profit is if property values go up. And, of course, property values going up is going to have an adverse effect on people of moderate to low income being able to stay in or afford to buy in the first place in those areas. So, you know, it hurts people who want to be there, but it also benefits people who are willing to sell and leave there. And so those are sort of both sides of that equation, sellers and buyers. There was also kind of an interesting note, Delarian Wiggins, that, again, only because it's something that people may not realize.
I don't know a whole lot about demolition other than what I've seen on TV. So if I sound dumb, just tell me. But by Baptist being, you know, 7-8 stories, are they going to use any type of detonation devices to?
No, sir. No, not with the asbestos and the contaminants in the building. It will. I forget what it's called, but basically there'll be a crane with a little arm that slowly pulls the pieces down.
So they're going to gently pry it apart with the crane of death. That's what they're going to do instead of demolishing it, wrecking ball, all that kind of stuff. I believe that was Erica Guerin-Caginolo, who is the economic development director for the city. Anyway, so they voted 7-0. They're going to move forward with the project. A lot of concerns. Again, the main concerns are, is it ever actually going to get developed? What will it be developed as? What effect will that have on property values and access to services in that area? And will there be minority participation in the process as we go along? All to be determined, basically. 725 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just got a text tip. The front gate of NAS is backed up all the way past Barrancas. So just be aware of that one. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing our usual delays. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. And Highway 29 southbound, just south of Kingsfield, all the way down to 9 Mile Road, is about a 10 to 12 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a car, you know, Frontier Motors is a great place to not just buy them. I mean, we talk about them as a great place to buy good quality cars, right? 1, 2, 3 years young, 10 to 40,000 miles, great condition. True. Good prices. True. But they are also a good place to sell said car, because guess what? If they are selling 150 or so cars a month, that means that they have to buy, do the math with me, 150 cars a month. And they buy them from auctions. They buy them from lease programs. They buy them from you. So if you've got a good car to sell, go there. They'll buy it from you. It takes about 15 minutes, no problem. If it's that kind of car, they don't buy clunkers because they don't sell clunkers, okay? But they buy good cars. And if you want a good one to sell, because you're going to buy me, I don't know, you're buying a new car. You're not a Frontier Motors person. Okay, you're going to buy a new car. That's fine. Okay, the world needs that too. But you can sell the used car that you've had for a year or two to Frontier. And if you want a higher price, they'll do a consignment sell for you. It might take a little longer, but there's no fee for that. That's just an additional option you can pursue. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
No person needs to pursue pride. Carnal pride is the natural resting place of a person's heart. In contrast, 1 Peter 5:6 calls people to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Notice that the task to pursue humility is given to us. It says, humble yourselves. So what's your plan to humble yourself? I suggest that that plan should begin with the phrase, under the mighty hand of God. What good thing do you have that you didn't receive from God's mighty hand? The answer is nothing. Humility begins with the realization that every positive thing I am and every good thing that I have is all because of God's lavish grace through the provision of His mighty hand. Pursuing humility starts with praising God. Be sure to take time to humbly adore Jesus for His grace in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, that sucked.
I aim for the 12-year-old and the 35-year-old's body. That's my target demo. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. And all I know is I'm three for three in the studio. David, John, and Andrew. David Wayne, the aforementioned, is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Several popular websites and apps are down this morning. Web security firm Cloudflare is apparently experiencing an outage that's causing issues with ChatGPT, X, and also the video game League of Legends.
And our text service.
And text group.
Yeah, text group, our text service.
So Cloudflare said that it is seeing services recover, but there may be higher than normal error rates this morning.
I don't care about the gamers. I just need my audience to be able to text me.
That's right. A vote on a measure to release the Epstein files could happen today in the House of Representatives. And the ballot for the 2026 Baseball Hall of Fame is out now. On the ballot for next year, Ryan Braun, Alex Gordon, and Edwin Encarnacion.
Encarnacion.
And I was close.
Ryan Braun should definitely be on there. Although he had injuries late, but he had a pretty outstanding career early, for sure. I would put Ryan Braun in there. Others, we'll see. I always like to look at the list and think about it a little bit. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk to the sheriff. Sheriff Chip Timmons is going to be here in studio with me, as he always is, on a Wednesday morning. Good day today.
Tuesday morning.
What did I say?
You said Wednesday.
Whatever.
You're already here.
Does it matter?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The Department of Justice could be forced to make public files related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The House expected to vote today. If it passes, it goes to the Senate, where its future is uncertain. President Trump says he would sign the legislation. The mayor of Raleigh, North Carolina, Janet Cowell, says federal agents are on the ground in the city and operations could begin today. President Trump loves McDonald's, delivered a recommendation to franchise owners in our nation's capital last night.
I like the fish. I like it. You could do a little bit more tartar sauce, though, please.
He also says he's slashing prices.
In the past 6 months, the price of breakfast items has fallen 14%.
That was the president speaking last night. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. We've got 58 degrees right now with clear skies on your Tuesday morning. Our forecast on the way with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. House lawmakers could vote today on releasing the Epstein files. Our District 1 congressman said he'd vote to release the files just to make the distraction go away.
This just creates distraction. It burns up time. It uses up precious resources. Now, we've got crises all over this country, in my opinion. I still want to get back to affordability in our home market. I want to get back to affordability in our groceries. And it seems like that's something that you know, the president's committed to.
That's Florida House Representative Jimmy Patronis, who says that he doesn't believe there would be any dirt on President Trump buried in those files, because if there was, he said, Democrats surely would have leaked it prior to his election last November. The chamber is expected to take out procedural measures today that could start to pave the way for the Department of Justice to release the Epstein investigation files. A trial has been postponed in the death of a Pensacola teenager. 21-year-old Ethan Alexander O'Brien was set to face a jury this week in connection with the fatal shooting of 16-year-old Bryson Allen at a Cottage Hill party last April. A judge granted a continuance because a key medical examiner will be out of the country. O'Brien remains in jail without bond on charges of negligent manslaughter, tampering with evidence, and improper exhibition of a firearm. He is now set to appear in court February of 2026. Florida's Attorney General James Uthmeyer announcing on Monday that 122 missing kids have been safely recovered in what he's calling one of the largest child rescue operations in U.S. history. The two-week effort was called Operation Home for the Holidays. It located children across four major Florida cities, 57 in Tampa Bay, 22 in Jacksonville, 14 in Orlando, 29 in Fort Myers. The kids ranged from 23 months to 17 years old. Four Pensacola women have pleaded guilty to federal charges in a massive prescription drug scheme. U.S. Attorney John Heakin announcing on Monday that Alexandra Christensen, Lindsay McCray, Heather Bradley, and Jennifer Purvis had admitted to forging prescriptions and distributing controlled substances while working at a local medical practice. The scheme ran from 2015 to 2024 and involved distributing 300,000 hydrocodone pills and 30,000 oxycodone pills. The case is part of a nationwide crackdown that's led to hundreds of arrests and uncovered $14.6 billion in healthcare fraud. The scheduled bear hunt in December, getting a bit of pushback. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says a statewide group wants the hunt stopped.
FWC is asking Leon County Circuit Judge Angela Dempsey to dismiss a lawsuit aiming to stop a planned bear hunt in December. Bear Warriors United filed for an injunction to prevent the hunt, which could result in up to 172 bears being killed across four regions of the state. By the way, the hunt does not include Northwest Florida and is scheduled December 6th through 28th. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Now, the Tanger Outlet Mall in Foley getting ready for Black Friday with extended hours. They'll be opening early Friday morning at 6 a.m. and staying open until 9 p.m. Also, Black Friday celebrations happening from 11 to 2 p.m. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. The front gate of NAS is backed up all the way past Barrancas, so just be aware of that. No accidents to report to you. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 experiencing about a 12 to 15-minute delay in Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola. Traffic is backed up pretty far. Experiencing a 12 to 15-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today, starting off in the 50s and the 60s. Temperatures warming up near the upper 70s for your highs. Partly cloudy skies overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back into the 60s. As we head into Wednesday, we will have temperatures warming up back into the mid to upper 70s. Partly cloudy skies going into Wednesday night, temperatures back into the 60s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 58. We've got clear skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Roblox is finally taking action to protect children amid widespread criticism. Its platform fails to protect young users from sexual predators. Roblox will require users to verify their age using facial recognition software in order to chat with other players. The goal is to limit communication between kids and adults on the platform. It's unclear when this is coming to the U.S. The facial rec rollout starts next month in Australia, New Zealand, and the Netherlands. We've got Klarna's first earnings report since going public a few months ago. Business is booming at the buy now, pay later lender. Klarna saw revenue jump 26% last quarter, and it expects to break the $1 billion barrier in revenue this quarter. The lender says boosts have come from its long-term loan business and its new credit card. Shares up 1% pre-market. Can't say that about too many others on Wall Street. More broadly, futures are lower. Market's slumping for a fourth straight day. That's Your Money Now.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickorhamic Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickorhamic Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickorhamic Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not. Regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Anderson Subaru has some outstanding fall offers on select 2025 Subarus. Choose 1.9 for 48 or 2.9 for 72 on Foresters. Get 1.9 for 63 on Crosstrek. Or choose 0% for 36 or 0.9 for 72 on Outbacks. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpy Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. It's Pensacola Morning News. I'm Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio with me. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
I'm good. Have you eaten since Sunday?
Yeah, I have. I'm not the kind of guy that can eat a big meal and then okay, I'm good for half
three days. Yeah,
I'm good for like 3 hours and
well,
I'll
you know,
snacking.
that well exercised physique of yours, you know, demands calories, right? So you and I have judged a lot of food events together.
Yes,
they always have you for the finals and they have me for the preliminaries only. So you know, I guess you're the big draw.
I got a bigger stomach probably. I can handle the preliminaries and I got some extra movement.
I remember
there.
Burger Battle by the Bay and you're like, ooh. I'll eat how many burgers? But no, you were one of the judges and certainly for the finals for Egg Fest, which was a great event, benefiting the canine that they're going to have, the companion dog for Ascension Sacred Heart. They've raised over $1 million over the years. And you feel pride when PPD wins or you feel offended that you're not, you know, they won.
I'm proud of them.
Good.
As the former chief, you know.
Yeah,
I spent 30 years at the Pensacola Police Department. I can't hate on them. I am very competitive. There's no doubt.
Are you?
But yeah, a little. But yeah, I mean, I'm at the sheriff's office now, and I want to make us the best in the state, and we're certainly working towards that. But I went over to the Pensacola Police Department and said, "Hey, that's pretty good. That's some of the best that I've had."
I might have four of them.
I didn't have four. Right. See, that's why I can do the finals.
It was so good. Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Well, but the hard part was in between after the initial phase of the judging. You walk around, you know,
and not feeding
and then
yourself.
You know, I should probably try some of this, but you got to wait until. And then by the time our judging's over, someone had run out of food, so you just
so you didn't get stuff.
You know,
yeah,
I don't get stuff, which is not. It's not.
Well, it's a hard life. I mean, it's a hard life.
Is it difficult to be invited into these types of things?
Let's talk about serious things. We had a shooting. I think it was last Wednesday at Moreno Court. It was kind of an altercation between women that eventually involved a couple of guys. What happened here?
That's exactly what happened. A fight happened. Two women got into a fight, and then. A little bit later on, two men got into a fight, and one of them shot the other. We know who was shot, and we know who did the shooting. But we're still working on the details of whether it was reasonable to think that was it was in self-defense. Did you bring a gun? Did you intend to do this sort of thing? So we're still investigating is basically what I'm telling you.
Okay. And as far as you know, lawful possession of the gun in the first place, that wasn't an issue in the case?
Right. There's not been an arrest yet,
okay.
To my understanding. And like you said, if it is self-defense, we want to make sure that we you know, tie everything up before we determine that that's the case, if in fact that is the case.
You know, one of the other stories that we had was you had put a video up and some pictures up on Facebook about this. This was involved a much more substantial bust. I think it was at the Motel 6 on Highway 29. Is that right?
That was one of the places, yeah. Typically, that was happened on, Thursday. Typically, I don't do the videos of that sort of thing, but our narcotics unit called. I knew they were doing a couple search warrants. They do these things about 5 o'clock in the morning, hoping to catch people, sleeping. Which they'd probably catch me if they went to my house sleeping at 5 o'clock. But
not the most responsive at that time. Therefore, you have the tactical advantage in case
we're early risers.
Yeah,
and
Overlook Drive was the other location.
Overlook, yeah, yeah. They went there first, and then immediately thereafter they went to Motel 6. So the thought there was that the people that were lived at an overlook, but they were doing their some of their drugs and mixing it in the hotel room because of how dangerous it is. And, and so I wanted people to see kind of an inside look of what the evidence looked like. I, you know, without touching it, obviously it's evidence. And because it was such a good drug bust, we had over 4,000 grams of this fentanyl mixture with this mentol type of mixture that they had. And plus they had, if you had seen the video, they had meth, they had spice, they had prescription drugs, they had brown heroin, they had a nut, just everything you can imagine a drug dealer would have.
It was the illegal CVS of Pensacola.
It was obviously they had an operation going on. Yeah, this is not a starter kit, right? This is not something that you first day type of a thing. But also about $10,000. But guns, we had I think four pistol type guns or handguns, and then a longer gun. But I think all of the pistols or the handguns were stolen. So you know, we talk a lot about drugs and guns and a connection. I think that the fact that they were stolen. Obviously, there was a crime that was committed before this even took place, and then to see that they're mixing this stuff and then they're pressing it into small little bars and they're selling it. I think that kind of goes to show you that this. I showed in the video there's two different blenders or mixers that they had, and then for some reason a rolling baking thing. So
this was really they had turned this motel room into a drug lab. I mean, really.
It was certainly one. And again, imagine, you know, we talk a lot about how dangerous fentanyl is and how deadly it can be.
Yeah.
But think about, you know, you make it more fentanyl in this clump and versus this clump. And that's why people don't know exactly what they're getting. This is not
pharmaceutical grade
operation here. This is some, someone just intentionally trying to poison our community. But I'm so proud of the men and women of the sheriff's office, not just the narcotics unit and the SWAT team that did the search warrants, but everyone. I mean, I can name plenty of times when our uniform patrol deputies have made traffic stops and arresting people. And I just read one where the guy that tried to shoot the deputy during a pit maneuver shot a hole through the cruiser car that he pled guilty in federal court. So, I mean, it's a dangerous job, as we say a lot. And I couldn't be more proud of the work that they do.
We're talking to Chip Simmons, the Scambia County Sheriff. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but we're still seeing delays on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. So expect about a 12 to 15 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, you know, I had an opportunity, as you know, to go on a ride along where you guys were doing a drug bust in a local neighborhood house. And the thing that I learned most from that was the extraordinary level of planning, preparation, surveillance, both before and during the event, and then the care and service that goes on because, you know, you're trying to do this in a peaceful way. You're not trying to hurt anybody. You're trying to get them out of the house so you can search it properly. But, you know, this is whatever people might have, they might see the sort of the shock and awe moment, you know, when, you know, you're breaching the door and you've got the announcement going on that there's a drug interdiction thing going on, but they don't realize what goes on behind the scenes in the preparation for it.
Yeah, what you're talking about is an operations plan, and we require that. I have to think back when I was first on the SWAT team, our operational plans was an easel in the back of a box truck on the way to the location, right? But now you've got... When you have the opportunity to do so, you have this operational plan where you do a lot of background work. You know who you're going to likely address whenever you get to
who's the target, who's in the house, are there kids, people, what time?
Should we hit one and then another one 5 minutes later as soon as you secure this house so that there's not traffic
communication,
problems with the traffic communication? So it's a lot of work goes into
and,
it.
And even like which windows where, which one has an AC unit, which one looks harder to breach through.
Are there dogs in the location? Mm-hmm. Are there, you know, does this person have a criminal history?
Do we know if they have weapons?
Yeah, what cars they drive? All those things, you know. I'm not telling the bad guys anything they shouldn't already know. In fact, if they're scared because, you know, Chip Simmons is telling them that we're coming at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, we may come at 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. We may come at noon. You know, we may try to catch you at work. And so if you're doing something, you know, something evil, doing something bad, you should be concerned about that.
Yeah.
And take it somewhere else.
Like I said, to me, you know, watching, you know, 20 or 30 people in a room mapping out the exact tactics that you were going to use and who's responsible for what and what do we know and what aren't we sure about. And even at up to the moment of go, no go, I mean, this is an operation. This is not, you know, whatever you might, you know, think about TV. I think generally TV gets everything you do wrong.
well, they simplify it and they glorify it. You know,
and but the planning and the meticulous attention to detail is a key part of, because ultimately you're not just trying to do the event. You're trying to make a case. And right. that requires certain protocols and evidence mm-hmm. protection and making sure that you follow the Constitution and all of the things that go into it, especially in an environment where you don't know behind that door if they're going to be pointing that, you know, assault weapon at you or whether they're going to comply peacefully.
Well, like you said, we knock and we announce, and then we have an idea who's going to be there, but you never know
right.
what's behind that door. And then all the planning in the world, something always goes a little bit wrong, a little bit different. There's a, you know, something taking place. There's burglar bars on the door, and you gotta figure out this, or there's a door that's been boarded shut, and you got to get through a window. You got to rake through a window. There's a lot of things that you can't prepare for. So you have what we used to call as compromised authority. When something happens, you've got to make a decision. Someone, a team leader, has to be a team leader and say, okay, let's go to the next door. Let's go, or we're going to sit and you go in the back door. You make entry in the back door. Those are things they do talk about, but someone's going to make that decision that, okay, let's stop here so you can't go through, you're not going to go to the front door and the back door at the same time, hopefully, you know. But it's, again, it is a level of professionalism that we've, quite frankly, that we've never seen before. We're cutting edge with regards to our training and our standards and our tactics. But again, you can't plan for everything.
The Motel 6, just to be clear, there was no resistance. They complied in that case?
Yeah, everyone complied.
Everyone knew what they're supposed to do. Yeah. Good. And, you know, your best resource is information and information from the community. Everybody... You know, like we walk around our neighborhood, we know the neighbors, and we know if there's weird activity going on. But am I right in recommending that if people know or suspect that there's illegal activity going on, you want them to call?
Right. We have pieces of information on a lot of people, you know, right? And then our investigators or our patrol unit, in this case, our narcotics unit, they will be investigating a house, say, or a drug operation, mm-hmm. but not have enough for a search warrant, or we need more time with it. We need to develop, because again, we're professionals in this. We have to make a case, as you mentioned a second ago. So if you continue to provide us with information, that one extra piece of information that, oh, every Tuesday this person seems to go to this location, mm-hmm. then that helps us with our surveillance, that helps us with our intel, it helps us with developing that probable cause for either a search warrant or an arrest warrant or both.
And if you suspicious activity, lots of cars going to a place, lots of weird strangers in your neighborhood, pay attention. You know, what the police may not have the ability to discover, you as the neighbor may well know, and you want that information.
And just be patient with us. I mean, we're working on it. There were getting calls about this operation too, and it's like, we can't really tell you what we're doing, but if you just wait, you know. And you know, don't sleep in on that particular morning. But we can't tell them that,
right?
And that's why it's important for us to let the people know what's going on.
Hey, last just briefly, we had a story. It's another one of these. You just don't expect to see it, but we had somebody in Cantonment where a guy, I guess, beat up his parents pretty badly, right?
Yeah. He claimed he was on off of medication. As my understanding, it's been reported in the media. That happened actually in September.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't show up for the initial appearance.
Okay.
And then so they picked him back up and they took him back to the courthouse. And the state attorney's office, as I understand it, based upon the history, has upped a level from a misdemeanor battery to a felony battery on, I think, on the father. So we already had felony charges on him for battery on the mother, and then they upped it to felony battery on both.
Battery against, not that, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And I think I remember that case from a couple months ago, so that fair.
Yeah, it was a pretty severe injury.
How did Coffee with a Cop go?
It went well. It was, I love just going out there and people come in and they're either surprised that, you know, what's going on here?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or they're going to say, I went there, I came here specifically to talk to the sheriff's
staff. Did anybody bring something to your attention that you know?
No, you know, everything was pretty good. Everyone talked about how they love what we're doing.
Yeah.
They like to see how transparent we are with almost everything. There was a guy here that came here in, I think, 72, 74 for flight school. He's in the Coast Guard.
Okay.
I wish I could remember his name, but a very, very nice guy. A little older than me. but he really loved Pensacola.
So really old.
Came back to Pensacola as old as you can get and still be walking around, which is more than I can say for you.
Wow. Nice. Mr. Calf Tear. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
I'm playing kickball and hurt my leg. But yeah, no, it was.
We have to make it also public. Go on.
It went very good. And again, we have a movie night Friday night at Triangle Park in Navy Point.
Oh, okay.
So we'll be there. I don't recall the movie, but it's on our social media platform. People can take a look
at it. Very good
one. It's always a good one.
Yeah, there you go.
You know? Right. I don't know, Life of Pets, I think. Maybe something
okay,
like that.
All right.
I'm not one of those movie, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down kind of guys, but it's going to be a good movie, I can tell you.
Well, Sheriff Chip Simmons, certainly, we appreciate all the work you do, all the information, telling us, as you say, everything you can until the stuff you can't, and we appreciate that, too, because that's part of operational security. So we'll look forward to talking again next week. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right, 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just no accidents to let you know about right now, but on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're seeing about a 10 to 12-minute delay, and also Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 12 to 15-minute delay just due to congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you're 64 turning 65, or you feel like it some days, like that's me, or you're retiring, that happens too, or you just have questions about Medicare. Maybe it's coming a couple years from now, and you just want to kind of get a sense of the landscape as you change over from regular insurance to Medicare. Call Ricky Stewart. She is a dear friend of mine. She's extraordinarily smart. She's super sweet. I've known her the whole time we've lived here. Her whole family does insurance. She just does this one part. She helps people get converted over onto Medicare. And then she's there for you afterwards. So not just at like open enrollment, okay, but all year round. If you have questions about your benefits or, you know, what is prescription drugs or what about, you know, Advantage or supplement or what about Medicaid? Does that apply to me? Does that not apply to me? Just call her. Just call her. She's there for you all year long. Insured by Ricky, RICKI.com, or give her a call at 341-2185.
Join Kenny Shortell from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care this morning at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care. Today at 10:30 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Join Ochsner Navant Health 65 Plus today on Pep Talk. November is National Alzheimer's Awareness Month, and Dr. Brandon McElroy will be on the show answering your questions with Dawn. Ochsner Navant Health 65 Plus is your local primary care clinic for the 65 Plus community with two Pensacola locations, 9 Mile Road and Mobile Highway. Tune in today at 10 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Hardware has been serving the city's general contractors and tradesmen for 174 years. We very much appreciate our customers and are thankful to be one of the only brick-and-mortar businesses in downtown Pensacola to always offer plenty of free parking. We focus on the commercial construction trades and specialize in architectural and engineer-specified products. Whether you're an engineer, project manager, purchasing agent, or subcontractor, Pensacola Hardware is your best local source for construction supplies and exceptional product knowledge.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees.
Good morning, 7:58, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, the Trump administration is fighting back against California's No Secret Police and No Vigilantes Act. The White House says it won't be complying with the state's new laws banning federal agents from wearing masks and has filed a lawsuit challenging those laws. X is among a number of popular apps and websites facing issues this morning thanks to a mass outage at web services provider Cloudflare, which powers a lot of sites and apps, including our texting.
Yeah, apparently. It's been up and down all morning. It's up right now, so text if you want.
And NASA planning an event to share images of the Three-Eye Atlas, an interstellar comet making its way through the solar system. It was discovered in July. It's the third object in the solar system that's been confirmed to be from elsewhere in the galaxy. The event will be streamed on the NASA website, YouTube, and Amazon.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. We'll talk to Sam Abel from Gulf Breeze about their meeting they had last night. Coming up next, stick around.
You're listening to